Welcome everybody to episode 36. We're going to talk about starting a business for nurses. As you guys know, me and Kay are also business owners, but today we've invited a very special guest, Kay. Her name is Rachel. Rachel and Garcia Tan is an advanced practice registered nurse. She started her career in the Philippines with a degree of BS in nursing in FEU batch 2008. She volunteered 2 years as a nurse in the Philippines due to her passion in critical care and pursuing more experience as a healthcare professional. She flew and worked in UAE, in Dubai, and Abu Dhabi. Her dream of becoming a globally competitive nurse didn't stop and advance her career in the USA as a nurse practitioner. And she has a concentration in adult gerontology, acute care nurse practitioner. Her passion in helping patients and providing an optimum wellness is her goal. Earlier this year, she was recognized as a top advanced practice registered nurse 2022 in Las Vegas, Nevada by Today's Nurse. Let's all welcome our special guest, Rachel Garcia Tan. Welcome, Rachel.
Hello. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
The Philippines. How are you guys?
Good morning, so Rachel.
Rachel, you're from Las Vegas.
Yes, it's 6 a.m. here.
6 a.m.
Yeah.
It's 8 a.m. here in Central Time in Texas and UK.
All
right. UK is
of course. Yeah, I'm on the East Coast, so I'm the ahead one. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, 9:05.
Oh, nice. Yeah, where are you in East Coast? Okay.
I'm currently in Maryland, but don't get me on that for a long time because we move around too much.
Yeah. I'm very privileged to be invited here, especially by Nurse Paul in UK.
Right. And let me just share this to my social media so we can bring in our audience.
Some followers,
Yes.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us, Rachel, early in the morning. Early in the morning, Las Vegas. You know, it's so hard to get our co-admins from Lefora to join us, who's from California, because California and Las Vegas have the same time frame. And I've been in Las Vegas. Paul, have you been to Las Vegas recently?
Last one was probably 2 years ago.
It's crazy. They've changed there when I went a long time ago. And now it's just
so many developments here.
It's non-stop construction. So I can see Rachel's business growing here in Las Vegas.
There's a lot
of demand here. And
before
I only think like Las Vegas very, you know, like deserty and it's just one circle of like the strip. But when I went back a couple of months ago, I'm like, oh my God, this is not the Las Vegas that I've once thought and once been. It's different. So which part of Las Vegas are you in, Rachel? I know that's like west and then east of Vegas.
Yes, so I'm in southwest Las Vegas.
I see. That's the one. Not because I've been like Henderson something like that, like
so Henderson is a different city, and then Las Vegas is there's Summerlin, Southwest, Northwest.
Hey, if you guys are watching this, if you're watching this show and you've never been to Las Vegas recently, I'd recommend you go check it out. It's really, really great place growing,
developing.
All right, Paul. Sorry, did I cut you out real quick?
I'm sharing it to the group. Sorry, but anyway, sorry about that. I woke up a little late, so I am my own social media manager as well. Anyway, Rachel, thank you for joining DMP Unlocked. So here in DMP Unlocked, we like sharing ideas to our audience, mainly immigrant nurses like us who are moving to the USA. Before we start with starting a business, this is for me one of the important topics because we want nurses to also diversify their talents and start their own niche business with their own niche. How did you go about starting your business? And tell us more about your business.
Yeah, so I started two years ago when I completed my nurse practitioner. So I really wanted to do more on wellness because I've been in ICU for like 10 to 12 years already. So I wanted to do something, to help patients, more on helping them instead of doing like a critical, because I'm more on critical care before. So I decided to start an IV infusion therapy first. And that was really hard. So I enrolled in a program to how to start the business, all right, and the protocols and policies for IV infusion. And then later on, I also did a weight loss. So weight loss has more, I believe it's like parang naka-help more sa akin. Because, you know, sa critical care, diba, more on obese patients. And here in America, the obesity is really high talaga. And it's right. Epidemic, right? So right. 2021, nag-boom talaga ang mga weight loss clinic here and everywhere in the U.S. So I decided to pursue more on weight loss kasi the demand is more here in the U.S., and yeah, I think it's just, you know, it happens na more on my patients wanted to lose weight, so that's how I started more on weight loss instead of the IV infusion. But I still do IV infusion still right now. I hired a couple of nurse practitioners in different states then. So we have currently 25 states that we can cover for weight loss. They are mostly contractors. So yeah, yun.
That's good. That's good. Thank you for sharing your business. And of course, for our audience today, you guys are free to interact with us in the comment section. This will be a fun and interactive show about starting a business for nurses. So feel free to ask us questions, share us where you're coming from so we can acknowledge you guys online. How about you, Kay? Tell us about your business, because Kay is also a business owner. All three of us here today are business owners, so we're actually here to share to you guys how we started, formed our business, and all that stuff. Okay.
Yes. So for me, I love events. Sorry. It's like, for me, I worked too much in the hospital when I got here. So, well, it started, my business venture started because I'm first. I have a blood of Chinese. So that's one thing there. So I'm always like, you know, we're Chinese and we like to do something different. So I stayed in Manhattan, and actually back then there's no Airbnb in Manhattan. New York is one of the highly desirable places for tourists, so I started my venture, you know, just simple renting out my place to people I don't know, right? And I know, right? Mm-hmm. A majority of them I know. The second one was, before there was a Turo, it was actually called Relay Rides. So Turo is a car rental. It's like the Airbnb for cars. So prior that name, it was called Relay Ride. Since I was working on a weekend, majority of the time, my car is available on the weekend. So I rent it out too. So it was like $18 an hour I was renting it out. And then I'm working in the hospital. So technically, I'm kind of like double dipping, right?
Yeah.
So that was my initial kind of like step into like doing business in the United States. I don't have a house, but I do have a car, and I rent it out in a very good desirable location, because car rentals in New York was crazy. It's like $100 per hour. I mean, not for none, $150 per day. But when you go to LA, you can get like $30 a day. And then I said there's a big demand for that. So anyway, I listed that. And then I try to do things that I really enjoy, because I work in a very stressful operating room, hospital, acute care. Everybody's like dying and sick. So I want to do something fun. So then I jump into events industry. So that's where I got really so busy. In events industry, that became my sideline. And then eventually I stopped working, just doing the events industry, because it was generating more than my income as a nurse. And I was having fun. You know, everybody's drunk in a party. And you just enjoying it. It's just not as stressful as other parts of the industry. So I stayed on the photography side. I used my travel nursing in actually seeing and acquiring different talents recruits. I call them my business partners. So every different state that I go as a travel nurse, I will find key people who will start my business in that state. And eventually it grew to multi-state that I had to step away already from nursing. But it was overwhelming. You will see me morning, 6 a.m. taking the flight to LA and then coming back the same day. So that was good. But anyway, that was my venture in the business. Really great experience for me. Right. How about you, Paul?
Of course, Kay is a hustler. I will call her the queen of hustle, right? But for me, I started my FX business, Kay, just 4 years ago here in the States. I do virtual classes. But prior to that, to be honest, when I was still in the Philippines, I've only been here in the States for 7 years. Prior to that, I've already been running a business in the Philippines with business partners. And guess what? It's also an NCLEX review class. But that's face-to-face, live, you know. And I moved here to the States. First 2 years, 3 years, I focused on adjusting, adapting to workplace, and also entering BNP school. So I got pretty busy. But then there was a need for it because people are still approaching me, students from the past, students that are already here, wants their friends to get on an NCLEX review. And eventually, a big agency approached me to ask if I want to venture out and take care of their nurses. So that's how I formed my business here in the States. And the tricky part, Kay, was starting a business in the U.S. because I was only here for 3 years. I had to solicit to get my head off of, like, headache of finding out regulations in my state, in my county, in IRS. I hired a professional to do all the registration for me. I could have done it for much cheaper, obviously, but it was going to be a lot of headache, and I just want to make sure that everything's on. But anyway, the key here is I know what I could offer, and I'm always the person who I could only sell something that I know I could offer. You know what I mean? That I believe in. So a product that I could believe in. So I know for sure that I can teach NCLEX. I've been doing that for at least 10 years when I started my business. So it was only natural for me to do that. And obviously, after 4 years, we're doing everything virtually. It was also right into the pandemic. And when I started my school here in the States, a majority of the classes are done online via Zoom. So I picked up the idea from that. And I say, well, I can scale my business instead of doing face-to-face where I'm limited with classroom size and local nurses. I could actually go virtual and global. So to date, we have nurses from over 40 countries, helped thousands of nurses pass the NCLEX, or six agencies are sending us nurses to pass the NCLEX on top of our regular direct enrollees from our website. And that's it. We also have a partner in Australia, and soon we're going to have a partner with Italy nurses partnering up with Aspire RN for NCLEX review. So basically, that's what I do. That's what I love doing. It was only natural for me to create something that I like doing, just like how we all of us formed our own businesses, right? It's so hard to learn a new skill and then make a business out of it unless you really, really have a huge bank account to support that, because businesses don't make money right away, right? We all know there's a large capital and time, right?
That's true.
Yeah, right. Rachel, quick question for you. When did you arrive in the United States, and when did you start venturing out in business?
So I arrived 2018, and then right after I finished my nurse practitioner, that's 2021. So I started my business right away because here in Nevada, we are full autonomy. So we can start our business as a nurse practitioner, you know. So it was easy for me here compared to other states. Other states, it's really not yet autonomous, right, Paul? Especially, is it in Texas? It's
restricted, yep.
Yeah, restricted. So some states, they require a couple of hours to complete in order for them, you know, to start. you can still start a business, but you have to hire a supervising physician. So here, we don't need to hire a supervising physician, especially if you're just doing a weight loss, so you don't need to prescribe anything like opioid or something like that. So you can do it here in Nevada.
Yeah, it looks like I'm looking at the map for, actually, right? I'm looking for the map for the nurse practitioner authority, independent authority, because here that's not going to take off quick. New York is very restricted. Yes. It's highly restricted.
A lot of
we can have our own nurse, only, but no,
yeah, I think there's only 27, something like that.
Yeah, something. I think some audio is having some concerns. I don't know, that's me. All right. Yeah. So I'm looking at the map. I'm gonna share you a map right now. So you can see which are the full state and not. Just for reference. So not all states. This is what I'm telling a lot of immigrant nurses. When you're starting a business, when you come here in the United States, each state is different when it comes to being allowed to practice. Rachel said, you know, she chose Nevada because of this specific, you know, rule and regulation. So I recommend a lot of our immigrant nurses who are moving to the United States and planning to have a business like Rachel is to look into what states are good that will match what you plan to do. So when you're picking a new contract to the United States, this is something that you have to think. For me, correct? Right? If you have a long-term goal to have a business, look into that kind of business and look at the regulation, what they're doing, if you're being allowed to practice or not independently. So you can see in the map that a lot actually by the west side, right, of America has is a full practice. I just realized New York's full practice. Look at that. I was just saying, I don't think it's going to take off, but I guess it is already full practice.
Yeah, New York, I believe they became full practice last year.
Recently. Okay, yeah, because I've been out of New York for 2 years now. So I was like, I know it wasn't when I was there, especially during the pandemic. It wasn't. So now, you know, so every time it changes so quick. So people ask me, Kay, do you know, what's the rule in this state? I said, you have to look up in the nursing, part of nursing, because it changes a lot and it changes quickly. I don't have it on top of my head. That's why we have a lot of specialty experts who are taking care of this. So again, if you want to look at the map, Nevada is here. Sorry, I'm not advertising any agency, but as you can see here in the pink map, it is Nevada is right there. Las Vegas is right there where Nevada is. Nevada is the state and Las Vegas is the city. And then beside it is California, who does not practice in full. It's restricted. Yes. Well, just sharing that. It's good to see, you know, if you're a nurse practitioner or planning to be one, like Rachel, something that you will have to look at are the rules, right? First state.
Right.
All right.
All right. Yep. So that's one heated discussion recently, because I went to my social media and shared something about NPs. You know, full practice authority is a very heated discussion across the U.S. because there are pushbacks. So we'll talk about that in another episode. So to not interfere with our topic for today. But here's my first question for all of you guys. We're all going to answer this as nurse entrepreneurs, nurse hustlers, nurse with big dreams and big goals. Hooray to the American dream for allowing us to be able to practice nursing at the same time be business owners. My first question for all of you guys today is, what are the first steps a nurse should take when considering starting their own business? Because, you know, a lot of nurses want to become business owners as well. What are the first steps? Start with Rachel.
So I think the first step is you have to find your passion, right? What do you really like to do? And so after that, you will really move on to what really niche you will, you know, succeed. And then the second is you have to continuously expand your knowledge on that particular passion that you really wanted to pursue or the niche. And then you have to develop a business plan. It's really hard to do that, but you know, you have to develop your business plan kasi nandun yung your goals and what's gonna be your subjective after that goal, and then you know, accounting, and there's a lot more in business. So business plan, you have to create a business plan. Develop a professional networking. So that's really important as well. And then I think number five is you have to embrace technology, right? Right now, as what Nurse Paul said, so if he focuses on only doing like live class, so hindi talaga siya mag-grow. So he considered the live lectures for our future nurses here in the U.S. From the Philippines. So you have to embrace technology. Also with my business, telemedicine. So as a nurse practitioner, we see the patients via telemedicine, video calls. So it's really good. Technology is evolving every time. And then market yourself effectively, because if you don't market yourself, it's really hard. Your business won't grow. So next, prioritize customer service. So customer service, really important. How you treat your patients, how you treat your clients, you know, you have to respect. And even though there's irate patients sometimes, you have to really talk to them, you know, listen, and don't argue with them. Yeah. Next, you have to find a business mentor. So that's also another thing. And then take care of yourself. So that's the last part. You have to take care of yourself too. Yeah.
Wow, that's good. Thank you for sharing all those 10 points, Rachel. I think that's very thorough.
That's a lot. that's awesome, Rachel. Thank you. I'm like, wait, she check off already what I was going to say. That's good.
Right. It's a very structured, as I must say. It's hard when you're a new business owner, because it's like, you know, like trying to get a feel of everything. If you don't have a mentor, if you're coming into an industry that's already saturated, like what I did. I went in blindly with the NCLEX review. I know it's already saturated. We have big names over here, social media everywhere, NCLEX, right? So who am I to like make a little dent again into the industry? So it was really difficult. But thank you for sharing all those great points. Very, very important. I hope you guys listened and you guys can watch this again later. But let's talk about the queen of hustler. What are the major points that you need to consider when you're starting a business?
Yes. So most importantly, this is a very, very good thing where you can start off. When you see survey results, pay attention to those. You know, I know a lot of frontliners, they don't pay attention to that because they say, oh, we're frontliners. We're not like, you know, people who's going to go advance their degree. We're just going to stay here in our frontline. You know, we don't deal with those kind of like graphs or results of survey or research or studies, right? But actually, if you pay attention to one study, it says there, who are the most trusted professionals? What's the number one? Paul, do you know? Rachel, do you know who's the number one trusted
nurses.
Professional?
Nurses.
Absolutely. So for me, any business that you have the trust of people, people will buy it, right? So again, a lot of people who are in the different industry don't have that step already. So as nurses, when you are in the nursing field, when you're a practicing nurse, you already have a leverage. You already have one or two, three steps ahead because people trust you. When you have and I always say, take that advantage for that. You know, use it according to your advantage, because a lot of times business doesn't take off initially because nobody trusts that business. But for you, as a nurse,
with new businesses,
right? Nobody would trust you. That's why do, if you look around in America, look around the businesses, you will see sometimes they're veteran owned, right?
Yes.
Because why? There's a thing called that we respect and trust the veterans a lot. We know here in the United States, we do we do really respect and give them a big trust. But do you have you ever seen nurse owned business slogan?
Let's start a trend.
Exactly. So that's what I started doing before, is nurse-owned business, events business, because events is one of the most dangerous place where you put your money, right? Sometimes you will hire, it's a hit or miss. It's very stressful. You don't know who you're hiring. And sometimes, you know, a lot, when you deal with a lot of vendors, it's very kind of like nerve-wracking. Yeah, a lot of moving part, especially when you go to real estate. You know, I see that Rachel's also in real estate business, right?
Yeah, so
Do you sell? No, I don't sell, but
we're going to start a co-working space for medical professionals. So don't have it here in Las Vegas. This idea came from my business partner. She's in Arizona. They have it there. So I said, like, dang, it's so hard to find a co-working space here in Las Vegas, because it's because I do, you know, IV infusion. Some place, it's they don't allow you to do a know, injections and stuff like that. So I told my business, let's start here. It's going to be a great opportunity. And there's a lot of providers here in Las Vegas. So our goal is to open in 50 states. So hopefully it
worked out. Yay. Let me ask you, do you work with a realtor with this? Do you work with a real estate agent?
No, it's basically we came across to the direct owner of the, you know, of the building. So we work with them. But we don't have any realtor.
Good. Because I said it's so sometimes very hard when you're in this kind of business. It's so hard to find a very trustworthy realtor. I have an experience with realtor. It didn't go well. I had to fire him and terminate him because he was acting on his best interest, you know. So there are a lot of things here that if you find vendors, will they act on your best interest, or will they act in the best interest of their pockets? So that's a question for us. It's so hard to find as a normal person in the United States, even just setting up a birthday party. Sometimes you don't know who to go to trust, right? Babysitting, you don't know who to trust. But when you realize that the vendor is a nurse, what will come to your mind? Oh, okay. Oh my God, it's a relief, right? So, and then one of the events industry person that I met, you know, shout out to her, Casey Bluestein. She's a very good artist. She's the one who designed Kettle Brand chips. She said, "Kay, I've never worked with a nurse, and it gave me peace of mind." Oh, and I'm like, so, you know, hearing that from a high profile vendor herself, I said, this is something that nurses really have to look into. Those surveys are not there just to show. Those surveys are there to give you a leverage into business. A lot of us nurses. So shout out to Jenny Pineda, who's in the chat right now. She's a good friend of mine in New York, and she's ventured out in business too. She's an operating room nurse. I love her spirit. Jen is just like, you know, she's into business right now too. Good job, Jen. So when I say to that, trust, integrity, when you run a business, don't worry about sales. People will buy things, whatever you pitch in, right?
That's true.
You know, even if you change from, okay, today I'm real estate, and you put a name there with integrity. When you open some other business, people will trust you and check it out, because integrity into business, that's already your key factor there to success, okay? And people will trust you, and you'll develop network. And I always say network equals net worth. Net worth is like N-E-T-W-O-R-T-H. Network is the amount of people you know who trust you. Equals net worth. So if you have a very good network and the people who trust you, your net worth will follow through that. So that's my important thing.
I love it.
How about you, Paul?
Yeah. So with me, I think you guys covered a lot of them already, but two things that I usually share with people that ask me how to start a business. And for me, these are very important. These are should be at the top of your priority. The first one is find your niche. And I keep saying that since the start. It is hard to start a business from a skill, from a craft that you have not learned yourself, that you have you haven't done for a long time. You just learned it yesterday from an online masterclass, something like that. And then today you're doing business for that. It will be a huge learning curve. But if it's something that comes out naturally for you, for example, you have arts and crafts skills, right, that you haven't explored as a nurse because you're just busy doing bedside nursing, maybe it's high time to make something out of it. Most of the businesses start as a hobby, start as a good idea from something that people already love, right? Like Apple was, has been, I always look at Apple and Microsoft and all these big companies, how they came about, you know, how they became the world's most valuable companies. Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs sat down in their garage and say, let's make a computer, because they're computer people. It came out naturally for them. They would definitely not make a medical device, medical equipment, you know, because they're not medical, right? So it's always about what you like doing, what's your niche, go try to explore that. And then, of course, Rachel said this is a very big and very important thing for me is business plan. When I was planning to enter the industry again as an NCLEX instructor with my NCLEX business, I didn't start posting right away in social media. There has to be a plan. My business has to be registered. Who are going to be my target clients? How am I going to put it out there? Because like you said, Kay, when you're a new business, it's hard to get clients because you don't have something to back you up yet. You don't have a track record to say, this is what I do. These are my happy clients. Who are your happy clients? Nobody, right? Because nobody has bought your services yet or your product. So it's really hard to get it out there. But, you know, I formed my business name, how I got about to register it, who are going to be my target population, you know, how many nurses for me, for example, one of my target data research was how many nurses are taking NCLEX next year? From that, what is my target goal, right? From there, how many are international graduates? From there, how many would I want, right? And how do I get to these nurses? If I'm a Filipino and all the people that I know from my network are Filipino, how do I break the global market? How do I break the virtual market, right? So I did my business plan and I still have it from 2019, 2018 when I started it, right? And every now and then I'll look at it because I even put their future plans, future scaling plans. How do I scale the business, you know? And I can still pick my idea from when I started it, forming the idea 5 years ago. So very important to do your business plan. And business plan is not something that's permanent. It changes as you move, right? You probably have to change your target, you probably, or population or audience or whatever, or you probably have to change your location physically if you have one. You probably have to change the way you deliver it to now it's virtual and you're using different technology. But it's everything will be about your business plan. It's kind of like your personal professional goals too. No plan, no way for you to evaluate if you're moving fast or slow, or are you progressing at all, right? But keep in mind that starting a business is not easy, all right? That's why it is important to find your niche. Find something that you already know and you're already doing. That way, that part, that stress of how to make this product work, how to do this how to provide these services with high quality, that's taken out of your plate already because you already know what to do about that. The other part is actually managing a business, which is involving fiscal responsibilities, financial, legal regulations, and all the technology that comes in with there is another thing to worry about. So find something that you like doing, that's your niche, and go start forming your business plan.
They're awesome, Paul. Yeah, business plan is, you know, I always say to people, always start with an end in the mind, right? Always start with the end. If you know, a lot of people just jump into business without a plan and they question, why did it not go well, right? Why did it fail? And I always say, did you start with a goal? What's the goal? Did you use the metrics? No. So those are important things. Like, you know, anything that you do, always start with a goal in mind. All right. So question for you, Rachel. You know, you were only here for, you're the youngest one here in the U.S. You know, Paul has been here, what, 6 years now, Paul, right?
2017.
So seven. So, and Rachel's like 6 years, I would say 6 years, right? Or seven yes. also. All right. So Paul and Rachel are the youngest. I'm like, oh my God, I'm old. So, right, for Rachel, question. You know, being here in the United States for only like 3 years, and you stepped into like nurse practitioner right away. You know, you have accomplished so many things in the span of 3 years. When you got here in the US, were you sponsored from the Philippines by an employer?
Yes, I got sponsored. I landed in Kentucky initially. Uh-huh. So I had to complete, I completed my contract for 2.5 years, and then I moved to Vegas. Yeah.
And that's where you generated this idea of going for a nurse practitioner, or did you plan this already when you were still in the Philippines or outside US?
So I've been really wanting to do a master's degree way back in the Philippines, but I told myself, hey, I'm just gonna do it in the US. And then I didn't know that there's a nurse practitioner existed here in the US wherein we can do you know, prescribe, like be a doctor, similar to a doctor. So that's I think that's drive me as a nurse to get out at bedside and start doing this nurse practitioner schooling after a year in Kentucky. And then yeah, so successfully got into the school program of nurse practitioner.
I see. So you did your nurse practitioner while you're under contract, correct? Yes, in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And you took advantage. And how long was that program in Kentucky?
A total of 2 years. Yeah, 2 years. So after being in the Kentucky for like 1 year, I applied to my school was NKU, Northern Kentucky University. It's online program. Most of the nurse practitioner program now here in the US are online. After a year, I moved here in Las Vegas, and then I did my clinicals here. So luckily I found a preceptor. It's hard to find a preceptor as a nurse practitioner, you know, but I found my nurse my preceptor here in Las Vegas. Yeah.
Wow. So that was just like your career is just trailblaze. So this is, I like to point out there, if, you know, a lot of our nurses who are outside the US for now, and then they're planning to come here. What Rachel did is similar to what I did. You know, after 1 year in the United States, I already pursued my nursing education. Did your employer pay the portion of that nurse practitioner program?
No.
Oh no, this is all you. So imagine that 2 year accumulating that, you know, it's a big capital, I would say, to start a nurse practitioner school and then start a nurse practitioner or a business, right? So in a span of what, 6 years, you've already put up your business. I know finance is very challenging here in the United States. And this is where I mentioned earlier that integrity will play a part in your role, because there's a lot of business grants out there, business loans here in the United States, compared to the other places around the globe, getting a loan for business is very accessible. There's grants, there's U.S. Small Business Administration, there's National Association of Self-Employed grants out there, you know, putting that capital. Did you put up the capital alone by yourself, or did you use some of this government resources out there?
No, I just put it up from my own pocket.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I didn't get a loan. I didn't get a loan because I already have, first of all, I already have a student loan, you know, to start a nurse practitioner. But for starting my business, I didn't get any loan. I started small. And then grow from there. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, because, you know, if the money is very accessible to anyone here, but there are pros and cons when you tap that loan from the bank to start a business. And when you start small, that is good. But when some people, they would start on a bigger side, there are grants in here. And this is where your credit score actually will help and your integrity. True. So when you're starting your life here in the United States, for the first 4 years, you know, have a habit, have a goal to have a good credit score. So in case you will plan to have a bigger business and start big, then there's available resources for you out there. Okay. But I don't recommend using, you know, the loan 100%. But if you have investors, have you heard about that? Investors chipping in on your Kickstarters. Paul, you know a lot about this, right? What are the resources out there, like aside from Kickstarter, what are the things that you have observed for people who wants to go big in a business in the United States that can help them in starting up a business?
Well, I don't know. I don't have investors. My company is 100% owned by me. But there are angel investors and online like funding things where people can chip into your business. But it's competitive, of course, for sure, because you got to have a solid plan. Like I said, when you start bringing in investors, you got to have a solid plan. You know, you got to have a solid path of how to launch your product or services. It also depends on, you know, what niche you're trying to explore. But there are definitely a lot of like organizations and even online websites here where you can get fundings for your business or products. All you got to do is research, definitely. There are funding opportunities depending on your niche.
Rachel and Paul, did you guys watch a lot of Shark Tank before you start your business?
Uh-huh.
No.
I still watch it.
Yeah. Actually, I started watching that when I was trying to look into a bigger business. And I'm like, I like this. Yeah, there's a Filipino guy who went there, right? Because I was buying his sauce already. You know that?
Oh, yeah. I might have missed that episode.
Yeah, I forgot. I forgot the brand of it. Yeah, but we were buying, so we were good. And then suddenly we saw him on Shark Tank. So Rachel, if you want to expand your business, right? So you have planned. So this is something that you might want to, you know, hey, do you need help in pitching in Shark Tank?
Also, I wanted to add, Kay, on, you know, like funding, right, your business. Not a lot of people or know this. So if you are starting up your business, you have to open your bank account, right, under the business. And you can also open your credit card. The credit card application, it will they will run your credit score, so, but it won't hurt your personal credit. That's what I learned from my banker. So you can open a multiple credit card as long as you know how to manage it, because this new business credit card, they offer you a like a opening incentive, right? So sometimes if you spend, for example, $3,000 of purchase, you will get $800. Okay. And also for the credit card, it will be zero interest. So it's a good, I saw some business owners, they open like 10 credit cards because their credit score, their personal credit score is good. So they have a 100,000, for example, capital already using that credit cards. And they use that to leverage their business because it's a zero interest for the first year.
Yeah.
So that's
cash flow
opportunity, cash flow, if you don't have a funding. But make sure that you know how to manage your credit card for sure.
Yeah. Here's the nitty-gritties of running a business is that financial and legal part. But yeah, one way to improve your cash flow and leveraging your money is using credit card and pay it off at the end of the month or at the end of the year if it's zero capital. Yep. And you know, the good thing with credit cards, since we're talking about it already, your business credit does not come out in your personal credit. So it does not, even if you have debts with your business credit, it will not ding your personal score. That is if you're self-employed. If you're S-Corp, well, obviously, the debt is with the S-Corp, not the corporation, not you. So, it's actually one way to, like,
diversify your, probably your, like once you start doing business, diversify your expenses and making sure that you're expensing correctly for your business. That way, you know, if you're using your credit card a lot and you're racking up, sometimes you rack up debt because, you know, when you have contractors that are paying you, like for me, for example, I do quarterly, right? Sometimes those funds get a little late, especially the bigger corporations they are, the more signatures and more escalations they want, they do. So your money is probably not going to come in 3 to 6 months, right? So that's a good way to like improve cash flow, leverage your business, make sure your operations are flowing, right? But that's it. That's called credit limit. But we're open lines of credits as well. But that's the nitty gritty part of the doing business. It's always easy to say, let's start a business. But once you're inside, it's really hard to like I said, you have to have a mentor or at least someone who's guiding you, especially manage the finances part. Because I think one of our weaknesses, Kay and Rachel, as nurses, is the financial part. We're not financial bros. We're not from Wall Street. Yeah. There's no fiscal responsibility and finances and computing taxes built into our nursing program. So, but do we have to enter MBA school? No, but there's a steep learning curve. But, you know, Coursera and Udemy, they have short courses now where you can take for 8 weeks for $2,000 and you learn basics of business, stuff like that. Or you could also learn from Kay or me or Rachel, since we've already gone through the process and we can make it easy for you, something like that.
So Rachel, a quick question for you. What are the challenges that you experienced, you know, when you started like 2 years ago, you started small and, you know, it's overwhelming. Anybody who's transitioning from just minding on their own business to creating a business, you know, it's challenging. What are the challenges, you know, for me, what I experienced before was, you know, why do you have to do that? You know, events business, you're a nurse, why are you doing that? So there's a lot of questions, internal and external, you know, from within your circle of friends. How about you? What challenges did you experience when you thought of it, you know, for the first time that you thought of it and you shared that information to actually like starting it? What were the challenges you experienced?
Challenges that I faced, as what Nurse Paul said, you know, it, especially weight loss, there's a lot of competition already for weight loss. And then that actually, natakot ako at the beginning because there's a lot of competition. And then overthinking, you know, also funding. It's really a challenge for me at the beginning. But as I said, I started small and grew from there. And then also the legality of the business, since I expanded in different states too. So legality is really important. Those are the challenges na I faced. And how did I overcome? Just research, you know. I did my research. I consulted some, you know, some expert already on this type of business. And then, kasi it's really important that you have a mentor. For especially expanding different regulations, different states, full practice authority, you know, restricted authority. So, yeah. And then, you know, spending some challenges also I faced is spending unnecessary, you know, stuff on my business. So those are the challenges that I face, kasi sometimes, oh, I didn't need this. Why did I, you know, bakit ko siya binili, right? So you will learn it as you, kasi talaga it's, you will learn and then you will just brush it off and then go from there. You have to be greedy talaga in that mindset and everything, yeah. So yun yung mga challenges na na-face ko.
If you have to restart it again, will you do it again despite the challenges?
Yeah, I will still.
You'll still do it. Yeah.
I will still do it. Kasi bata pa lang talaga ako, I started talaga business-minded na kami ng mama ko. So, even when I was a kid, I was selling in my classmates. So, I think I was born talaga na business talaga, mindset, entrepreneur na talaga. Yeah, so, trial and error business.
That's a thing that that I would, you know, ask you, you know. This business is very complicated, you know, nurse practitioner. Especially healthcare, because you do a lot of is this reimbursements or it is all out cash majority?
So for my private practice is pure cash.
Yeah,
cash
I see.
Practice. Cash pay, yeah.
Cash practice, because when you go to healthcare business, a lot of them are. I mean, some of them are actually reimbursed by government, by CMS. Mm-hmm. You know, but when I heard like it, I've heard about infusion. I've heard of that, and there's so many complicated moving parts, right? Because we don't know the CMS distribution or reimbursement model. But for you, how many states are you in now?
So for my brick and mortar, the IV infusion is only here in Las Vegas, but the weight loss is 25 states. So I hired different nurse practitioner in different states that they have license there, because it's very expensive to, you know, to do your licensing. Like Paul, he has a supervising physician. So my nurse practitioners, they have their own supervising physician. They have their own licensure. They have their DEA, etc. Yeah. So make sure that you know, as a business owner, if you're going to start a venture or something similar to this, you have to make sure that they have their licensures and certifications.
I see. Got it. So you've kind of like franchised out and partnered with these people. And how did you know these people? Do you know them directly, friends?
They basically sent me their resume. I didn't know them. I think they found me through my advertisement. And from there, they send me their resume. Yeah. So why not, right?
Right. Look at that. And you don't know them, but they trust power you, right? Technology. You guide them.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. The power of the nursing trust, I'm telling you. It's there. You know, random people just trust you like that. Hey, Rachel, you know, I want to be your business partner. You know, there's a level of that trust on you among these people you never knew. And this is what I always tell people, you know, you're a nurse, people trust you. Use that leverage into creating something very advantageous on your end, right? How about you, Paul? Have you ever thought about expanding outside Aspire?
My company is already like serving nurses from many countries. So I don't know where else I can go from that. But it's always been my dream. So UCK, I managed a business for more than 5 years in the Philippines with business partners. In a way, they became my mentors because when at the beginning of my career, I was an instructor teaching nurses different schools. I was just invited. I was having a good time, going around and traveling and getting expenses paid for and teaching at the same time, right? So I enjoy that. No hassle, no drama, no nothing to worry about. Administrative meetings and fiscal meetings and budget meetings and marketing meetings and marketing goals and metrics. I've never heard of those. And then at around 2013, that was 5 years after my graduation as a nurse, I was 25, 26. Business was opening in the same industry. I was approached by the owner, said, do you want to be an industrial partner? I was like, ooh, the partner sounds very appealing to me as a 25-year-old without any capital to put up a business. It's a million, million peso, because here it's $1 million. The business generates millions. In short, if you put it up, I know it's going to make me money as well, because it's a big industry, NCLEX and Local Review in the Philippines. To cut it short, I became an industrial partner without putting up capital. All I got to do is serve, you know, with my time, expertise, and my network. So they were basically buying me in because of my network, because I was already teaching nationally at this time, right? So out of 20, 50 instructors, why me? But it was actually my network because of how I was a little influential in the schools that I was trying to teach, because students follow me and they know that I can get, they can get through the school through me. To cut it short, I lasted 5 years there before I moved to the Philippines. They gave me valuable knowledge as to run a business. So when it was time for me to open up a business here in the States, I thought I was ready for it, right? But my goal was, you know what? I've already done Philippines. I've already done classroom teaching. I'm limited to my classroom seats. If I only have 20 seats, I can only bring in 20 students. How can you scale from that? One of my business mentors was actually an agency owner here in the States. She's retired now. Her name is Tanya. Hello, Tanya, if you're listening. And why I do live stream was also inspired by her, because she used to just invite me as a guest. And then eventually I realized I can make my own podcast and I can bring Kay and Anna as well with me, because we're actually leaders and experts in our own field. So we can talk about niche. But she told me, Paul, when you create a business, always think about, and this is how I started dreaming big, right? Always think about scalability. She would always ask me, how many students can I give to you that you can safely say that you can handle? I was like, I'm going to start with 20 because I want to make them all pass. And she's like, Paul, that's not how you make business. You think scalability. I was like, okay, I'm going to get back to you. Let me see if my technology can support it. I get back to her the following day. She's like, I was like, okay, now I can handle 100. She's like, Paul, we'll start with 1,000. How about that? All right, if I give you nurse tomorrow, 1,000 nurses are going to be able to handle that. That's when I'm like, okay, this is getting really serious, right? The key word is scalability. How can I scale my business? So when I put my business, I was like, okay, I need 2 months, right? Because I need to improve my infrastructures, the data infrastructure, basically server and all that website. Because you don't want to be handling 1,000 students and then not have, you know, technological support for that if I'm going virtual. To cut it short, it all became a reality eventually, right? And because I started with thinking scalability, my website was able to handle all those students, all those volume at the get-go, right? But it was challenging nonetheless, but there was also no other way for me to go about it but to think of scalability. So that's how I end up, and that was just a dream for me to, like, you know what? I already taught in classroom. I want to teach globally this time. I want to reach nurses from all sorts of background, from wherever they are, all around the world in different time zones while I'm sitting here in my office. I had this dream where I'm by the beach and I'm teaching, or I'm by the beach and I'm doing classes or coaching students. And sure enough, 2019, 2020, 2021, I was in Hawaii, I was in Cancun, I was teaching nurses over my phone, doing final coaching before they go to the airport. So I was like, wow, it's really happening. I didn't think it was really possible. But Kay, I leveraged the power of scalability and technology. Without technology, I would not be able to do that. I still get invites, Kay, to Sri Lanka, to Nepal, to teach in Malaysia, to teach in South Korea. It's very tempting. But Kay, I'm very comfortable with this seat right here, with my office right here. Everything set up for me. I wake up, I shower, I drink my protein shake, I sit, I teach for 4 hours, and then I spend time with my puppies. And yet, I'm still able to teach nurses from UAE, from Europe, from Australia, from Canada, from Southern America, even the remotest city in Pacific. I have students there. And I'm still amazed at this time. But I just used the leverage of, I leveraged technology and the power of scalability using technology.
It's awesome. Paul's journey is like amazing. He's just like a trailblazer. Oh, yeah. Just like popping my door. Like, hey, you know, you want to join the Fora? Like, but what is Le Fora? I'm like,
there's still more business ideas for the future. But for now, I want to take things one at a time. Because as a business owner, I think I also have responsibility for my staff, for my clients, to make sure that I have my 100 focus with them. Yeah, I don't want them to give them the impression that I've already moved on from the business. Y'all can enroll with me with my name on it. They're selling my name and I'm focused somewhere else. You know what I mean? Like Elon Musk is now not busy with Tesla, and Tesla's tank is tanking. I'm an investor, so it upsets me, right? I don't want my clients to feel that way. So now I still have 100% attention for my students, for my clients, and eventually there's more steps for me up. And I'm going to take those stairs, but at the right time.
Yeah, take it one step at a time. It's very important. Don't, I tell people, you know, if you're going to go like different business all at the same time without even like focusing, mastering one, you're going to screw up all everything. You know, but, you know, our time is running out. And this is a very good discussion. And Rachel, you know, I know this is, a fad for you. I know you're still growing and I can see the future. Your bright future way ahead of this, because you know what you're doing, you plan ahead, you study what you're trying to do, and you're the good thing and the best part is you enjoy what you're doing, right? Yes. You love what you're doing. True. It's way different than ICU bedside.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Nurse Paul also knows that.
Paul is ER, you know, and you're in ICU, the two of the most highest turnover departments.
Highest turnover,
right?
Highest lawsuit, highest everything.
Highest burnout. I never step into to ICU nor ER, but I mean the OR. So that's a good thing, you know, it's three different things. But both of us, all of us have one thing in common. We enjoyed what we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that, you know, that, oh, I wish I never started this. You know, a lot of people regret doing it. But you guys, you're in your position because you did what you have to do. And that is creating a goal plan for business. That's the first thing, which a lot of people miss. Last words, Rachel. What would be your best words, last words for our viewers right now, who's actually in outside the United States and about to come here or been here only for a couple of months? What would be your advice for them if they want to go to business?
You have to believe in yourself, okay? Take care of yourself. Also, find a mentor in starting a business, because it's really hard. It's not easy. And just be greedy. If you fail, don't, you know, wag kang ma-depress. Or I know it's a part, but you have to get up and do it again. Try and try until you succeed.
There you go. How about you, Paul? Thank you very much, Rachel, for that.
Business is like, it has a life of its own. It can make or break you. That's the truth. Very important that you know what you're getting into, and this is something that you really, really love, because it really makes it easier and lightens the burden if you're doing something that you enjoy. Business in itself has its own challenges, right? It's always easy to see successful business people, always so fun to admire them, inspiring to admire them and how they became successful, but we've never seen their journey. And as a business person, I have so much respect to business people, for as long as, of course, they're ethical, because some business people are shady, and I would call them out for that if I can, you know what I mean? I think as a business person, it allowed me to evolve to have more perspective on the other side of not just being an employee or a worker, right? There's a lot of challenges for sure, but it all starts with an idea, all right? Find something that you love and propagate that idea, plant that seed, so eventually it becomes a tree. But it is a process. So I always say this with everything. Trust the process. But that's it. So make a concrete plan. And trust the process. Let it be a learning as you go. You learn. Let it be a learning journey for you. And if it didn't work out, well, thankfully, you can start another business. No one's stopping you to start another one. But you've already learned a lot from the first one. So that's it. So if you haven't started yet, start one, right? If you lose money, take it as an investment. Because you've learned something valuable from it that cannot be replaced by money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Love it, Paul. Love it, Rachel. You guys are awesome in sharing your
how about you, Kay?
Your insights. For me, when I started, you know, there's not a lot of resources for me because when I got here in the United States, there was no iPhone.
Right, right.
It was like a flip phone. But now we have everything in our palm of our hands. And, you know, if you have that urge, I always think that frontliners are the most innovators because they will find solution to our problems in the front line. So if you're a frontliner, don't you ever think that because you don't have the degrees that Paul and Rachel have, right? You don't need to be a doctorate. You don't need to be an MBA to be an entrepreneur. If you have a creative idea to solve problems, then there you go. Then you might have a business in there. Something that you need to talk about, you know, just look into the resources out there. And there's a thing that I'm going to plug in the chat right now. It's called Nurse Hack for Health. They call it a pitch-a-thon. If you have an idea of a business idea, you can pitch it there. And who is the sponsor of this? It's sponsored by Johnson & Johnson, presented by Sonciel and Microsoft. Sonciel is one nursing organization that I really like because it's the society of nurse entrepreneurs, scientists, innovators, and leaders. And something that you want to look into, you know, to be part of. I'm not into big, like, research stuff, right? I'm more into, like, okay, what will be solving our problems in nursing? So if you have a solution, you have a solution to problems, look at those opportunities out there. One is Sonciel's Nurse Hack for Health. It's a pitch-a-thon. I was there last year. You know, our Filipino friend, colleague from New Jersey, Diane Bautista, she also won the competition last year. Hey, you know what? There you go. That's our Filipino frontliners or international frontliners are stepping up to say, hey, we have a value in this healthcare industry. We have solutions. You know, don't be scared. And don't be scared. There's a lot of people in here. Pitch. No, there's no bad idea. There's no bad opinion. And the good thing is we're in the profession that respects each other's opinion very well. So try it. You know, we never know. You'll be the next, what do you call it, nurse, next innovator. Innovator, next Steve Jobs of our healthcare, right?
Right.
So
right.
Feel free to always ask people. There's also like Chamber of Commerce. Each state and each city will have your own Chamber of Commerce. It's like a lot of free resources out there that you can check out. Okay. Right. So I always say there is no wrong opinion, no wrong idea. You know, if you have an idea that you think will solve a problem, hey, you know, let's talk. You need an investor, let's talk, right, Paul? Right,
right,
Rachel?
Right.
We don't mind being the angel investors of this.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, there you go. You
got send us a message.
Paul just need to cut down his hair. He's gonna be our Kevin O'Leary in this pitch talk here.
Are we gonna be the next Shark Tank for nurses?
Yeah, and Rachel will be our Barbara, right? Barbara.
Right, yeah. And you will be...
that would be me because I'm older. I realize that, right? So, no. I love you, Barbara. You're good.
Right, right. But anyway. Shark Tank.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, share the ideas. They're probably a group of people within your network that will bring you to certain people, key people who will help you out on your business idea. So again, thank you so much. And I hope this was very helpful in learning about business in the United States. It's not overwhelming as you think, right? If we did it, Paul did it, Rachel did it, I did it.
You guys can do it as well.
You guys can do it, yes. Exactly. All right, Paul, Rachel, okay. Thank you so much for being here on a Sunday morning.
Thank you, Rachel. Yes, next week, Kay, episode 37, we're going to talk about EB3 retrogression update. Very in-demand topic right now because of retrogression for nurses. But guys, we made it here. Me, Kay, and Rachel, we did not give up on our American dreams. We're gonna share our thoughts, our perspective about the retrogression update. And Kay and Rachel, I'm going to be going live on my page, Dr. Nurse Paul, on Wednesday, June 26th for a live Q&A again. It's just, you know, a little way for me to spend time with my followers. I can answer your questions about NCLEX eligibility, application, job offers, visa options, retrogressions, immigration, U.S. life, career, love life, and more. I'm going to give away one free ethics course, guys. Join me in Facebook and TikTok. Last time, I have more than 150 viewers and I think 150 people joined my NCLEX raffle. But I will be online. You guys can ask me questions. You guys are free to join me as well if you are free. And yes, thank you guys. Appreciate Rachel for sharing your craft today, your expertise, and also UK. Thank you. Again, guys, every Sunday, DMP Unlocked. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.